Time for our first legislative hotline of the 2026 sessions. We get the pleasure of spending that time today with 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor, who is in Olympia this morning and going to talk to us about a number of things. We get the sessions gaveled here on KPQ. They, of course, did gavel into session just earlier this week officially. And Senator Gaynor, always a pleasure. Thanks again for the time this year.
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoy interacting with you guys.
Remind us, Keith, how many years in the legislature for you now?
Actually, this is, I guess, my eighth year. Yeah.
Eighth year. Okay, very good. Anything different for you? Any feelings that are changed or different as you head to your office this year for an eighth time?
Well, this is a short session, and it's interesting just because last year transitioning to the Senate, I certainly had it's a different feel, and the sense that we've only got 60 days and we've got a number of big issues that are on the table, you just get this sense of intensity in trying to get everything in because our cutoff dates are so much shorter, and there's so much that people want to do. So there's a lot of frenzy of sorts of getting things filed and getting things moving. So it is a different feel, but I know it's going to go quickly. It's only been 4 days, and it seems like we've been here for how long now? It seems like a lot longer than that already.
Well, that's spoken like an 8-year pro though too. So all right, we'll angle towards a few specific bills here in just a second, Keith, but let's start off by talking about what's taking most of the headlines, at least spotlight, as we start the sessions, and that's the budget, a large hole to fill. Governor Ferguson's already made some proposals to do that, I imagine, especially when it pertains to the rainy day portion of that. You and other constituents are not too happy about that. But tell us about the work that has to be done in 2026 regarding the budget and the deficit Washington State is facing.
Well, it's really disconcerting to me. We're going into a supplemental year. Last year, we did the budget. We did the budget for the biennium for a two-year time frame, and actually we had a 4-year projected balanced budget, and now we're not even a year later and we're looking at a big deficit. And to me, what it speaks to is not having our priorities in order and not really anticipating well. I mean, we're not projecting incomes, revenues well, and we have basically overcommitted with state projects and programs. And, if we don't take a good hard look at what we have committed to do and make sure that it's sustainable, which is always the concern, is sustainability, then every year we're going to be faced with this. A supplemental year is supposed to be making minor tweaks. What we're looking at from the transportation side and also the operating side are some significant shortfalls. And so, as what happened last year, I'm anticipating we won't have a lot of real hard discussion about budgets until we get to the very end of session. And that, once again, we're trying to just find revenue to pay for things that maybe we shouldn't even be committing to do. And that's obviously a philosophical thing that has to be resolved before we get to the end of the session.
Keith, it's a much bigger sheet, but it's just like accounting class in high school, which I'm not sure if you took, but I was there. Debits and credits, and you're talking about how much Washington State relies on projections about both to establish its budget for any given year or cycle year of years. So who makes these projections, and why do you feel like they're coming up in error?
Well, I will say from my experience at the county, and I was involved with 16 budgets, and we always would get an idea of what our revenue would be first, and then look at what could we afford to commit to. And here in Olympia, I do think that the policymakers make the policy, and then the budget writers fill in the trying to find a way to pay for it. And that's where I think we should be relying more on the projections that the accountants and the financial people make, and then shape our budget to fit those revenues. Because right now we've continued to raise taxes in every area. We've heard from all sectors of activity in the state where people were not aware that they were going to be taxed. And we had a number of taxes kick in October. So when you tax something, you don't necessarily get the same activity. The same behaviors change. And so what you think you're going to get, you have to let that play out a little bit to see, well, is this really a realistic projection that we made? Because everything is, and on the income side, is our projections, actually. There's you know, like with the property taxes, that is a finite amount. You know exactly what you're collecting there. But sales tax and some of the fees, you know, those are dependent upon what do people do? What are their purchasing behaviors? You know, what are they recreationally? What are they going to do, you know, to generate revenue? So those are kind of speculative. And it's difficult to make, you know, spot on projections. But actually, the projections have been, you know, pretty good. And so therefore, we should be budgeting based on those projections rather than, as I said, come back later and say, oh, now we need more money.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today on our first legislative hotline for the 2026 sessions. Again, these will happen on Thursdays and Fridays at 8:05 every week as part of the morning updates until the sessions finish out. Keith, let's angle the conversation now to the initiative process. This is something else that has been talked about a lot in the media. I know as we get the sessions going for 26, there's some concern about changes to the initiative process. So tell us about this in general, if you would, as we lead off for 26.
Well, the provisions in the bill right now make it more difficult for people to file initiatives because you have to have 1,000 signatures before you can even get it identified as an initiative. And then you have to get, you know, you're actually having to try and round up support for something that you can't, that you haven't even formulated. Whereas when you, now it's just an initiative process, you file it and then you start collecting signatures. So, I mean, there are some, the way it's written right now, it makes it more difficult for people to actually get ideas, you know, publicized and to get support for it. And I think the whole idea is to undermine the initiative process, which has been pretty fundamental. And, you know, what, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, I think it's really important to have, you know, the public voice heard. And then as legislators, we should be honoring the process and to allow for that to play out. And, you know, the chips will fall where they may, but I think it's really important for the public to have that opportunity to, you know, state their case. And if they have plenty of support, we should be considering it in, as legislation.
Keith, do you feel like there are certain members of the House and Senate in particular, I guess, since you're more familiar with them maybe now, that actually would want to see the public squeezed out of the ability to design initiatives or make them go forward in the future? Or do you feel like this is coming from somewhere else, these attitudes that are drafting these laws that are trying to maybe make the process more restrictive?
Well, I think it's pretty apparent that there are people within the legislative process that they don't want to be questioned, I guess, as the policies that they're instituting. And we saw that with the advisory votes. I mean, they've been taken off now. I mean, they used to be there to kind of get a gauge of where the public was. You know, what are they really feeling, you know? And we'll put in, you know, if it had a fiscal note, that, you know, in some of those you didn't really know about, but you did get to clear sense of what people, you know, wanted to support. But if you take that away, then you can just kind of say, well, you know, I haven't heard from anybody, you know, kind of thing. And I think it, you know, it does kind of insulate the legislature from the public. And this should be a public process. We should be really reflecting what our constituents, you know, want to see and build our government based on that.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here as we lead off our KPQ legislative hotlines for 2026. Keith, let's talk about a couple things that we've also been hearing about in the media quite a bit as we start the 2026 sessions, and that would be law enforcement bills. One which seeks to kind of curtail, I guess, if you will, or restrict the ability of sheriffs to maintain their posts, or at least puts them under greater scrutiny, I guess, to keep their posts. Initiative 5974 is this one, or it's State Bill 7954, I should say. We've already had three sheriffs here in the region come out with statements on social media about their displeasure with this. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison would be one. Also, the Okanagan and Adams County sheriffs have done the same. So tell us about this bill and, you know, your position on it.
Well, my position is one where once again, the public has voted for who they would like to see, you know, head up the law enforcement in the area, whether it's a police chiefs are appointed, but they're appointed by, once again, a local elected body, that the city council or mayor. And it's important for us to respect that process. And to me, this is a situation where we have people that know better than what local people want. It's kind of like with the school districts. I mean, you elect school board members to make decisions for that district. You elect city council people. You know, you have that local, oversight. And that's really, to me, what we ought to be honoring. And when the state is coming in and saying, well, we're going to put up another, layer here to determine whether you're getting adequate, leadership here with your law enforcement. Well, the electorate pretty much knows what's going on, and I believe we should respect the vote of the people. And to take it out of the hands of the locals, to me, is not, you know, a good process at all. This centralized oversight has not proven itself to be very effective.
Keith, in addition to undermining what local people have voted for, do you also feel like this in some ways also kind of casts people who vote in local elections, at least in certain portions of the state, as not maybe being the smartest folks either? I mean, it almost seems to me like, with blanket coverage of this variety, you're kind of telling some people, well, you don't really know who you're voting for, so we're going to check in on you.
Well, it is very much saying that, yeah, you don't know what's good for you. Well, maybe we don't, but when you vote, elections have consequences, and if the sheriff or the, whoever is not doing the job, that will bear itself out. And I think that, the locals are the best position to make that decision, because, they know, and really the sheriff knows what's best for his, county. And that's where, if you're having people, just hear it coming out of Olympia, deciding that, Adams County ought to be having this kind of leadership, and I don't even know what it is that is that much of an issue, because we have, they all take the oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the state and the country, and it should be resting with the locals to decide whether they're getting adequate law enforcement.
Keith, another bill that has to do with law enforcement we wanted to touch on quickly this morning would be Senate Bill 5855. This has to do with face coverings being worn by law enforcement officials. And this has been predicated by some of the, Customs Enforcement, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement activities that have been going on, where some of the officers wear masks to conceal their identity. I'm sure there are reasons that some law enforcement supervisors are going to give for that. Others say that this is a process of trying to conceal their identity so that they aren't as accountable for potential crimes that they might commit in the process of doing their duties. So tell us more about this particular bill, and again, where you stand on this one.
Well, I think you've described the bill well. It's just, it is a reaction to what's going on with immigration enforcement. But I have two issues with this one, primarily. One is, these are federal officials that are fulfilling the law of the land. And, they also, the second thing would be that, number one, I guess, that we don't have any oversight, or any authority over federal agent and at the state level. And then secondly, to tell a law enforcement officer what is appropriate for them for whatever reason, whether it's for personal protection or whether it's for the concealment of their identity. It's not up to me to decide why they're doing that, but it's kind of also a little bit interesting how we mandated that people wore masks, and now we're going to mandate that they can't wear a mask. So I don't know. I just seems like this is something that is really not for us to be entering into. And as long as they're fulfilling their duties in a responsible fashion, what they use for personal, the PPE, personal protective equipment, is really up to them, in my opinion.
Keith, as far as both of these law enforcement bills are concerned, ones that deal with that, do you feel like this is maybe starting a new wave or setting a second run, if you will, of bills that are really hungry to restrict law enforcement and its ability to do its job. We saw this, of course, in the wake of the incidents in, interestingly enough, Minneapolis, which is such a hotbed again, back during the George Floyd incidents about 6 years ago, I guess it's been now. And in the wake of that, there were a lot of bills that were pushed through many state legislatures, not just ours, but certainly ours included, that wanted to, again, restrict law enforcement and try to kind of pull them or rein them in. And then we sort of got away from that a few years later when we realized some of those bills might have been overreaching and were preventing law enforcement from really stopping criminals and protecting the public. Are you in fear that maybe we're starting a new push with that, with bills like this?
Well, yes. I mean, it is something that, once again, if we believe in the rule of law, then we should put the laws in place and then let law enforcement do their job. And honestly, to when we've already had a good example of our inability to really recognize what's happening, in the heat of the moment, when law enforcement does what they do, they're doing it with the idea that they are protecting the public. And I have great respect for anyone that is willing to put the badge on, because they're highly trained, they're highly committed, and they have a very real responsibility that they take very seriously. And I think that it's important for us to make sure that we're giving them the tools to have a society that is, abiding by the law. I've always felt that the reality is that we're predicated, our peacefulness is predicated on 99% of the people following the law. And whenever we let people become lawless, then we really have undermined our whole of society. Because what laws are we going to pick and choose, which we will like, which we will not support enforcement of? I mean, it goes down a very slippery slope. And I think that, we do need to respect those that we've asked to protect us and, hold them accountable, but hold them accountable in a way that is respectful of the process rather than undermining the whole of society.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline. Again, this is our first one for the 2026 sessions. They come around on Thursdays and Fridays at 8:05 here on the program through the sessions next 60 days or so. Keith, I sure appreciate the time as always. We'll look forward to reconvening with you here in a couple of weeks on the 29th of January.
All right, great. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Always appreciate talking to you.